The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Before I start this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions. This is not a part of my sermon. Just questions that I feel that that God wants us to hear. Why are you here this morning? Why are you here? Not saying we don't want you here, we do. But why are you here? Amen. And what do you expect God to do this morning? Do you believe that God is the same as yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that the same God who healed so many people 2,000 years ago can heal today? Do you believe that the same God who raised people from the dead 2,000 years ago can raise people from the dead today? Do you believe that the same God who took these 12 disciples and who allowed the Spirit to move like never before on that Pentecost can move within us today? And so when we come, let's be aware, let's be open, let's be available for the Spirit to move, for the Spirit to guide, for the Spirit to speak. Sometimes we get in this routine. Well, we're here because this is what we do. We wake up on Sunday morning and we come with our family, and this is what we do. And sometimes we get caught up in this routine over and over, and we forget the meaning why we're here. Because we serve a God who is all powerful, who is all loving. And so I come to you today for you to be open for what the Spirit wants to speak to you. I come to you today to be ready for God to work in mighty ways in us and through us. Amen, church? If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to start in verse 39. We're looking at the seven last phrases or last words of Jesus while he was on the cross. And this is going to take us through Easter, to help prepare our hearts for Easter. Before this, in Luke chapter 23, Luke chapter 23 gives us, right before this, the first words that Jesus said on the cross. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Jesus, the first words on the cross from Luke is, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This comes right after that. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. How do you handle suffering? It's hard. When bad things happen to you, when you go through hard times, what is your reaction? Here at the cross, we see three men who are going through suffering, who's about to die. We see Jesus and we see a man on his left and a man on his right. Two thieves. Both thieves going through suffering. But both thieves handle it in very different ways. The first thief we're going to look at. The first thief was kind of selfish. He kind of only was looking at what he wants. In verse 39, he cries out, if you really are the Christ, then save me, save us. There was no repentance here, no confession. There was not even much belief. Remember, he even said, if you are the Christ, basically saying, well, are you the Christ? Are you truly the Messiah? If you really say who you are, then why don't you help me from this situation that I'm in? There's really no belief. He just wanted something out of it. He was only looking out for himself. How often, if we can be real with each other, real with ourselves, how often can we be like that? Coming to Jesus only when we need something. And sometimes almost blaming him for putting us in the situation that we are in. I've talked to many people like that. They need to blame somebody, so they blame God. They might say, or maybe you might say, you call yourself God, why did you let this happen to me? You say you're loving and full of grace, well, prove it. If you are God, get me out of this mess. Get me out of this financial situation. Relieve me from my pain, from my sickness, if you are God. But when you come down to it, you see that there's really not much humility behind it. There's no confession. It's basically just a selfish plea. Save me. We all know what a car jack is, right? A jack that you usually throw in the trunk of your car. That whenever something goes wrong in your car, then you open up the hood and you take out the jack and you bring it out to do the dirty work to then get you back on the road. To fix the problem that you have. You might say to yourself, where are you going with this, Pastor? This is where I'm going with it. Sometimes some of us use Jesus like a car jack. Jesus is not a car jack. We don't just take him out whenever we want to. to fix the problem and to do the dirty work, and then we just throw him back for another time when we need him. It's almost like the teenager who never speaks to God, but yet when he realizes or she realizes that they didn't study for the test, guess who they call to? Oh, God, please. I think we all struggle with that every now and then. Sometimes when things go good, sometimes we forget about God. Or sometimes we forget about him. Sometimes we forget about why we're here. I think we've all done that every now and then. That's the first thief. The second thief is very different. This is the thief that Luke wants us to be like. We see several things about this thief. First, the first thing that we see is that this thief does not follow the crowd. When the other thief and also all the other people are throwing insults at Jesus, this thief doesn't. He probably had all the intentions to. But he doesn't. How often is it easier just to follow the crowd? To do what everybody else is doing? To say what everybody else is saying? The other thief is throwing insults at Jesus, but then we see that this thief rebuked him. He says, "Don't you fear God?" That's the second thing that we see about this thief, is he fears God. Do you fear God? When we look at this word fear, what does this mean? Give reverence to. Do you give reverence to God? I mean, after all, he is all powerful. To this thief, Jesus was real. Where the other thief, Jesus, was just somebody who maybe could help him at an instant. The third thing that we see from this thief is his fear led him to humility, as he admitted that he was wrong. This thief then cries out and says, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." He was led to humility. He was led to confession. He's basically saying, guess what? I deserve to be here. This was my fault that I'm here. I'm a man that did some bad things. I made some mistakes. And he humbly comes before Jesus with these. And the fourth thing that this man acknowledges, he acknowledges that Jesus is righteousness. This man, he said, this man has done nothing wrong. And then he goes a step further and he says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He acknowledges that Jesus is king. Remember me. So what thief are you like? Then Jesus looks at the second thief in the midst of all this that's happening. And he says these words, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Look at all these words that Jesus is saying, the first three words. The first one, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The second one that we heard from Pastor Wick last week, Jesus saying, "Son, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son." Trying to bring them together, trying to help them. And now this third word that he's saying, he's reaching out his hand and saving someone. "Today you will be with me in paradise." These first three words are all reaching out to other people, reaching out to us. In the midst of his suffering, in the midst of his pain, he is thinking about us. He's thinking about you. He's forgiving. He's saving. He's helping. All the first three, he's reaching out. The next several words that we are going to tackle, we're going to see a little shift, a little change of his wording. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." I tell you the truth. He's saying this to these criminals that probably heard a lot of lies growing up. Probably have heard a lot of lies from people around them. He's saying, "I tell you the truth. Jesus is the truth." John 8:31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth, and he is saying, "I bring me to you. Now receive my truth. No more lies for you." Maybe you're sitting here today, and maybe you realize it or not, but maybe you've been hearing the lies from Satan, feeding stuff to you. Jesus is saying to us, "Hear my truth. My truth will set you free." Let's focus on Jesus, who is our truth. "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me." Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. We all want to be picked. We all want to be loved. When I was in grade school, I always looked forward to recess, which then we would go out and play a pickup game of basketball or a pickup game of kickball, whatever age I was in. And I was like all the other kids. I wanted to be picked first. In basketball, I was usually one of the last ones picked. I don't know why. I mean, look at me. But then one day, I saved up all of my money, and I bought some new Jordans. And I put on Jordans, and I came out, and they looked at me, but then they looked at my shoes. And I wasn't the last one picked that day. until they saw that there was no skill, and then I was the last one picked the next day. But we all want to be picked. We all want to be loved. Here, Jesus is saying, you will be with me. I choose you. I choose you to be with. That's why I'm dying here in the first place, is because I chose you. That's why I'm dying here in the first place, because I love you. Today you will be with me. Nobody else. You'll be with me. You'll be with me in paradise. What is paradise? Heaven. Today you will be with me in heaven. What is heaven like? Streets of gold. Being in his presence, praising him always. No death, no mourning, no more suffering. The most glorious place. Thinking of Revelations 21. I think Revelations 21 tells us a little bit of what heaven is like. 21, starting in verse 4, I believe. Yeah, Revelations 21, starting in verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So we see a little glimpse of what heaven is like, but then we see a glimpse of what hell might be like. We have a choice. Which thief are you like? On this day, both thieves were suffering. Both thieves were basically asking God to save them, but in two different ways. And on this day, we would probably make the inclusion that one thief is saved, one thief is not. I bet the second thief wished that he experienced Christ well before this. He's probably thinking to himself, if only I have done this, I did this 10 years ago, I wouldn't be hanging on this place. What thief are you? Goes back to what we talked about 2 weeks ago. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us. Just like in Revelation, it says that he makes all things new. He makes you new. No matter what you've done, where you've been through, what you've been through, where you've been, He looked at this thief. He looks at you and he makes all things new. So what thief are you like? Some of you, well, all of you have a chance today. You have a choice today. What choice are you going to have today? Maybe you're going down a road that you know doesn't end well for you. Choose Christ. Follow him. Give your life to him. After all, that's why he died. He died for you. Maybe some of you have been down this road before, but lately you've just noticed that your life is kind of veering in a different direction than God. Maybe you feel distant from him. You have a choice today. Recommit to follow Jesus. Recommit by going down his road and not the road that you want to go down. Because it's about him. It's not about you. It's always about him. I struggle with selfishness a lot. I think in a way many of us do. A lot of times I think about me, especially with the people who I love the most. This first thief thought about himself. He didn't have that heart of saying, it's all about you, Jesus. He was saying, it's all about me. What are your actions speaking? Is it all about you, or is it all about him? Lord, forgive me for my selfishness. Forgive us for our selfishness. Forgive us for always thinking about what we want in this earth, in our life, even in this church. What we want, not what you want. Help us to know, as I've said many times, that this is not my life, this is yours. This is not my body, this is yours. This is not your church, this is yours. And God, I pray that our ears will be open to the leading of your Spirit to speak to us and to tell us what you want us to do with our life, what you want us to do with this church, what you want us to do with this body. Forgive us for not taking care of ourselves as much as we should. May we cry out to you like that one thief in humility, recognizing that you are God, that you are righteous, recognizing that you can save us. And may we hear these words, the same words that you said on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Thank you for wanting to be with me, God. Thank you for wanting to spend time with me. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you for forgiving me. That's why you suffered in the first place. And may our understanding of that, may it change us. And may it make us something new. So, Lord, this morning, as we all have a choice, I pray this morning that we will choose you. I pray this morning that we will choose to hear from you. We will choose to hear your truth and not the lies around us. I pray this morning that we will choose to follow you and to go down the road that you want us to go down, not the road that we want us to go down. I pray this morning that people will choose you over themselves. Not my will, but yours be done. I pray that people will choose you and will follow you with all of their hearts. I thank you for your words on this cross. The first three words that reach out to us. That reach out to me. May these words change us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, the choice is yours. Like I said, maybe for some of you, you might say, I've never chose that road before. I never chose Jesus. The choice is yours. Will you follow him? I guarantee you, you will not regret it. I guarantee you that thief did not regret it that day. Follow him. Don't wait. Follow him. Maybe today you just have noticed that you are veering away from Jesus. Maybe not going down that same road that you used to. You have a choice today. Change your course. Follow Jesus again. Recommit your life. And I guarantee you, you will not regret it. Let's allow Jesus to bring life back into these bones. As we come and sing this last song, the altar is open for you to come. If any of these God is speaking to you through any of these or through anything else. Again, remember how we opened it this morning. Why are you here? Allow Jesus to speak and to speak to your heart. Every Sunday morning, right before we come here, Pastor Wick and I meet together and pray. By the way, we open that up to anyone. If anyone wants to join us, oh man. I pray that we'll have a prayer gathering 15 minutes before service with 100 people that believe in this time, that believe that God can do something big and praying for that. Come join us. But as we prayed this morning, God, may you speak to people's hearts. And may we listen. So if God is speaking to you, come. In any way, in any shape, any form, if God is speaking to you, the altars are open. It's not a scary place. He's here.